When I first got saved, when it's so funny the terms that we use, but when the Lord first came and found me, right? The Lord came to me. The Holy Spirit drew me to Himself. Come on. And when I first came, I didn't come into a church. I came into a group of people that we did Bible studies everywhere. I mean, I'd go to Bible study on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And I'm not saying I lived in West Seattle, but I was going to out to Buckley and then to Yelm and just wherever there was one, man, I was going. Because why? I got born again, right? My heart changed from the inside out, right? But we used to have these little circles, you know, probably 10 people, you know, or whatever, in a circle. We just sing songs. But they were songs that meant so much to me because I wasn't singing it to the group, right? I was singing it to the one who transformed me, who changed me. His name is Jesus, right? There's a scripture. You can be turning to 1 John chapter 1 while I'm doing this, but there's a scripture in Revelation that it says, listen, I got this one thing against you. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Man, you're doing great. I mean, you do so many things well, but this one thing you've done is that you've left your first love. And I need you to repent and go back to that first love thing. And that song, The Heart of Worship, takes me back to, wait a minute, it's not how good we sound. It's not really about even the words that we sing or how well we play the instruments. It's about our hearts toward God. I love you, Lord. Everything I do, Lord, is because I love you. Again, I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to, because I think it ties into what we're going to talk about tonight. But I remember that when I got saved, I went from, I grew up, you know, in church and Catholic, and I knew about God and all that, and even gave, I dedicated my life to serve Him, but I walked away from that, and I was at the point where God, if there is a God, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but just to summarize, God spoke to me, not in an audible way, but in my heart, in a real tangible way. And when I gave my heart to Him, He came to live on the inside of me, and I was changed. I knew I was changed. I couldn't tell you biblically why I was changed or give you any scriptures, but I knew that God had done something on the inside of me, and I was completely different than I was before. I was born again, right? And out of that, I couldn't do enough for Him because I loved Him, right? And I knew what He'd done for me. It's like, Lord, whatever. So if somebody preached on fasting, I was fasting. If somebody said you need to pray an hour, I was going to pray an hour. If some, whatever the sermon was, and it's really funny, and I will get to the scripture in just a minute, but it's really funny. If there was an altar call, I didn't care what the altar call was for. I was going up to get prayed for because I wanted to be more like whatever they talked about. Right? But then this is what happens. We get mature in the Lord. And we go, oh, bless God. I can't go up there and get prayed for. I'm a deacon in the church, or I'm a pastor, or I'm this, or I'm that. And it's like, no. I think that if an altar call is given, like this, if I said this, and I've said this before, how many of you would like to have more of Jesus in your heart and in your life, right? I mean, every hand should go up. Let me pray for you, and about four people come up. I'm thinking, and just because I am a man and I can do this, most altar calls, ladies come up, men don't. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why. But it's like, it's there was used to be a saying when I first got saved. It's like, I'm going to go to the the spout where the glory comes out. I'm gonna camp under that spout, and I'm just gonna sit there and get all that I can. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Right? When it's all about you. It's not how I feel, it's not how other people treat me, it's not about anything. It's just about Jesus. Glory to God. Did you find 1 John? I want to talk to you tonight about fellowship with your Father. Is He real to you? Is your relationship with Him real? I'll be honest with you. I know God, but I don't know Him as well as I want to know Him. Right? I mean, it's like if you know somebody, if you have somebody that you know, you spend time with them, you get to know them, and if you're around them long enough, you don't even really have to talk. You just hang out because you know what they're thinking, they know what you're thinking, and it's just a relationship, right, that you become real comfortable with. I think that's how we're supposed to be with God. I just think that's how we're supposed to be with God. I think that we're supposed to talk to Him like He's real. I just have to believe that when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You, I'm right before His throne. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about some thing out there. I'm talking about some person who's right here. Are you with me? So, fellowship with the Father. Let's go to 1 John. I'll get there. I'm talking and not turning. So, glory to God. 1 John chapter 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon with our hands, and which we've handled concerning the word of life, that life was manifest. And we've seen it. And we bear witness and it declare to you that that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. That which we've seen and we've heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. He said, look, we're not talking about a theory. I'm not talking about a religious class that I took. I'm not talking about secondhand information. I'm talking to you about the One who was, but He showed up in our lives. Man, He just showed up. We didn't know Him before, but He showed up. And He was with us. He was real. He was somebody that we could touch, that we could talk, that we could, handle. And we knew Him personally. I've heard stories of people, great men of God, like for instance, Lester Summerall used to talk about how that he knew and had a relationship with Smith Wigglesworth. And some of you may not know who that is, but a great apostle of faith. I mean, he had many people raised from the dead. He was just an incredible man of God. And I thought, you knew him? You talked to him? You walked with him? You were in his house? Wow. And they're saying that same thing about Jesus. Think about it just a minute. We know Jesus. We know Jesus. We touched Him. In fact, we ate fish with Him. We had a fish fry with Him. He cooked. We know Jesus. We saw Him laugh. We saw Him cry. We saw Him hurt. We saw Him die. And we saw Him raised again. So we're not talking about an abstract thing that we think is somewhere. We're talking about somebody that we know. And we had fellowship with Him. One of the best definitions for fellowship that I've ever heard is two fellows in a ship. Right. The word is koinonia, and it means assembly. association, community, communication, joint participationship, but it means I like that. Have you ever been in a rowboat with somebody, just a little rowboat with somebody else? You're the rowing and they're sitting in the back, and I mean, you're there. You got nowhere to go. You're there in that boat with them. And he said that same fellowship that we had with him and still have with him, we want you to have that with him. Oh, man. Oh, man. Is that possible? Then why aren't we having more of it? How come? And I think the reason is that we, first of all, we don't really believe that's possible, and we don't really believe that when we're praying that we're right there, and we don't really wait long enough for him to really talk to us. But if we would, he would. Come on. He's real. He's here tonight. He came tonight. And we say such dumb things. We pray stupid prayers. Thank you for your enthusiasm. How about this one? We're going to pray the glory down. We're going to pray the glory down. We pray that God's presence would be here when we get here. Doesn't he dwell in you? The glory doesn't come down, it comes up. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right? So it's not that he's cut off, but it's that we've cut him off. Come on. Our faith, our expectation is like when I pray for somebody. Don't have anybody pray for you that doesn't believe that God's anointed them. Right? If they say, well, you know, God might do something. Just say, put your hand on somebody else. I'm going for the one who has fellowship with him, that knows him, that's associated with him, and knows that he who promised will back up his word, so that when I pray for you, I have a full expectation that the power of God is going to flow through me, because he said, if I lay hands on the sick, they'd recover. He said it. And he's shown me himself over and over and over and over and over again. And over again. Over again. We ought to be able to talk to somebody else about the relationship we have with God instead of the religion that we profess about him. Come on. I don't want to win an argument with anybody about Jesus. I don't. I want them to see that I have a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus is real to me. And this is kind of off the topic, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, and his whole point of him coming was so that he could manifest or make known to us what Jesus did for us and what that meant for us. That's his whole purpose. And it says you don't need anybody else to teach you that, because you have the Spirit of God within you. You ought to have an expectation that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So I read the Bible every day. I don't read this one. I pull up my phone in the morning and I read the Bible every day. But I should fully have an expectation when I open the app and go to, I'm reading it right now in Lamentations. But that's the Word of God, do you understand? So I'm coming into the presence of God when my eyes hit that page and the Holy Spirit is inside of me to speak something to me out of those verses that I'm reading. Why? Because Jesus came, He showed up. And he showed up to some men who turned around and said, we've known him, we've touched him, we've handled him, and we want to tell you about the one that we know. And so we're going to say that you can have that same fellowship have with him. Glory to God. The devil's robbed us. We've thought, look at this. We thought silly, dumb things. Let me just give you an example. Oh, if I was only as holy, and you name off the person that you think was really holy in life, you know. Boy, Catherine Coleman had the presence of God, and she did. And I'm not diminishing that. And I'm not saying that you know, well, my grandma, boy, she prayed, the fire came. That's all wonderful. That's all good. But the reality is they don't have any more of God than you do. They just accessed more. Right? They just accessed more. So what's keeping us from accessing him? Yeah, that's right, Scott. It's us. But it's we don't really believe that we have the same fellowship that John had. Well, it's hard to believe, but yet not if we take God at his word. Not if we put God's word first. And we say, well, this doesn't compute with my brain, God, but you said it, so I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to act like it's true, even though everything in my mind and my body is going tilt, 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 tilt. How could this possibly be? Your doubt comes from you viewing God through you. Your faith comes by you viewing God through Jesus. Right? Are you with me? Am I holy? Not myself. Right? I mean, I all of us mess up, all of us, but I'm not standing before God in my holiness. I'm standing with God through my fellowship with the Son. And he said, he who knew no sin, Jesus, became my sin offering or my sin sacrifice or became took my place on the cross so that now on the other side, have you ever thought about, you don't have to just believe that Jesus died for your sin on the cross. You have to believe that God raised him from the dead. And that part is because when he was raised from the dead, it proved that he was holy and it was the justification for our sins. So because he's holy, I'm holy. Because he has right standing with God, I have the same right standing with God. Right? But I don't always feel like it. I'll tell you, I don't always act like it. But that doesn't change the position. So I have to believe what he said rather than what I feel. My feelings have nothing to do with it. In fact, we have to stop thinking about the presence of God by what we feel. What do I mean? I've been in services, man, where God was so thick in the room. I've walked out of this building, what I call intoxicated in God. I mean, the anointing was so strong. But really, am I any more in the presence of God because I have those feelings than I am because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus all the time? So I think sometimes we cut off our fellowship with him because we're trying to base it on how we feel about our relationship with him. Rather than just say, Lord, you and I both know I've screwed up. I'm not justifying. We're going to look at that in a minute. I'm not justifying. I'm not saying that I was right. Anything. In fact, Lord, I do stuff that's wrong even when I don't even know it's wrong. And I know it because it doesn't work out right. So I must have screwed something up, but I don't know what it was. And I, you know. But here's the reality. I'm coming again in the blood. I'm coming before your presence in the blood. And everything that the blood has produced is what gives me the authorization to say I'm in fellowship with you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Come on. I have fellowship with the Father, not based on what I've done, but on what Jesus did. Yeah, come on. God is not mad at me. The Bible says that the middle wall of partition that was between man and God was torn when he died on the cross, and that veil was rent from top to bottom so that I can go into the Holy of Holies anytime. We sing a song, and I love the song. John likes it a lot. We sing it a lot. You know, take me past the outer court. He did that. And through the holy place. He's done that. Past the brazen altar. He's did that. Because I want to see His face. You already can. McFly. Hello. Hello. Take me into the holy of holies. He did that. He did that. Do you understand? That when he died and he went to his, you know, the ladies who were there, and he said, don't touch me yet because I haven't yet ascended to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. I haven't done that yet. I haven't taken the blood into the Holy of Holies yet. But as soon as he did that, he came back, touch me all you want. Thomas, come on, put your hand right here, buddy. Right here. Why? Because the work had been done. The offering had been accepted. So I can go into His presence anytime. You can go into His presence anytime. You don't need to come to a worship service. You don't have to seek out the latest and the greatest fad for worship. You just have to know that I have fellowship with the Father because of the blood of the Son. Whew, glory to God. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Everything that He's promised is available to us tonight. Andrew Womack has this great teaching, and it's called, You Already Got It. You've already got it. What does he mean? We're praying for stuff that's already ours. We're begging God for things that He's already provided. Oh, God. Oh, God. I asked you for forgiveness 2 years ago, but oh, God. Let me come back into your presence again, oh God. He's up there going, huh? First of all, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't remember the penalty that was associated with that deed because I wiped it away. As far as the east is the west, it's gone. Get up, boy. Think about this and think about this picture, and it's over and over throughout the Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament. John's in heaven and they start to worship and the presence of God, he falls on his face. And the angel that he was with, or Jesus, didn't say, that's right, you stay down there. He picked him up. And he said, you don't have to go down there. You belong here. You belong here. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus have to back his way into the presence of God? When he goes before his Father in heaven right now, or is he just seated right next to him? You know what the Bible says? I didn't write this. It says that you're seated with him in heavenly places. You're already complete in him. But we look at ourselves in our relationship with God through us instead of through the blood. Our fellowship with the Father isn't based on you and me. It's based on Jesus. And the same way, come on, the same way that we can walk with Him with confidence is the same way that we got saved. And how did we get saved? The Bible said that it's by grace through faith that we got saved. God said, here it is. We said, I'll take it. I believe you meant what you said, God, and I'll take that. So when we're feeling like we don't belong in the presence of God, or we're feeling like the presence of God is a far, long distance away from us, and all of us have felt, I just don't feel God anymore, who cares? You don't have to. You just have to come by faith. Glory to God, glory to God. Let me just give you an example. We're a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, right? So we believe in praying in tongues, right? And the Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongue prays to God. He doesn't know what he's saying, but he's praying to God. And he who prays in an unknown tongue builds himself up. Have you ever prayed in the Spirit and felt nothing? I have. I prayed hours. I mean, I'm not just talking a minute, 45 minutes, an hour, and felt nothing. Nothing. But that has no bearing on whether I was being charged or not. Right? I have to believe what the Word says and do it because I believe it's true. I believe it's true. Hallelujah. A couple of stories. There was a pastor of, you know, he was new and he was a minister and he was driving along. And he lived in Texas and he was driving from somewhere south back up to Dallas, and you know, in Texas that can take days, but because it's so big. But it took several hours, like 6 hours for him to drive from southern Texas up to Dallas. And he said he prayed in tongues the whole way. I mean, just got after it. You know what I mean? Get after it. If you're Pentecostal, you know what I mean. You know, if you're just kind of charismatic and, you know, you're real dainty about it, that's one thing. But I'm talking for 6 hours. He said, all I felt was dry throat. I didn't feel nothing. He said, but I believed that I was built up in the Spirit. He said, and that night, he happened to be going to a Bible study. It wasn't his Bible study, but it was somebody else's Bible study. He got in that Bible study, and the person that was leading the Bible says, hey, listen, brother, do you have something? He didn't prepare anything. But as soon as the brother said, do you have something? Something dropped down into his spirit. And he was able to deliver in the power of God because he didn't go by his feelings of whether he was being built up. He was being built up for when the charge was needed for somebody else. See, so when we're in worship, when we're in fellowship with the Father, when we're doing the things and we're praying, we may not feel anything. It doesn't matter. I just believe, right? I believe, watch it. How many want to please God? Anybody in here just want to please God? That would be the best thing you could do, right? I want to please God. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him because you have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. How does faith operate? Faith operates in thanking God for the things that you don't see, you don't feel, or you don't, based strictly upon what He said. If we really believe the Bible and the fellowship that we have with the Father when we pray something like this, Father, I'm seeking you wisdom on what to do with my house. The minute that you pray that, you should go, woo, glory to God! God's given me wisdom for my house. Ha-ha! I got wisdom. What are you going to do? I don't know yet, but I got it. What do you mean you got it? I got it. How do you know you got it? Because He said it. He said, if I ask, I'll get it. So I got it. I got it. And so the devil comes and says, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I've already got the answer. Devil, shut up. Well, what is it? I don't know, but I got it. I got it. Are you with me? See, fellowship with the Father is not based on you. It's based on Jesus. But watch this. The more that we develop in that, and we go to somebody else, and we say, look it, God loves you. We go, well, yeah, I mean, you probably got a tract that says, when you go to somebody new, say God loves you. And people will know that. But when you say, man, look them right in the eye, you say, God loves you. How do you know that? Because He loves me. And I know He loves me. And the only reason that I'm even accepted in the Beloved is because the Holy Spirit came to me and He drew me to Himself. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And He's been showing me His love ever since. God loves you just the way you are. How do you know that? Because when I was a dope smoking drunk fool living for myself, He came to me just the way I was. Just the way I was. And He didn't say, well, Bruce, listen, I need you to clean up and in 6 months come back to me and we'll see if you pass the test. No. He came to me just where I was. Glory to God. And I was changed in an instant, in an absolute instant. I went from being a heathen. And all that means, that's not a derogatory term. That just means somebody that's outside of God to somebody that was with God. Why? Because somebody came to me who had fellowship with the Father, and He described to me how He had been touched by God and how God touched him. And it got to me to where, is that possible that that could be for me? And just like John is saying here, hey, same God that talked to me will talk to you. The same God that loves me will love you. You see, but we have to become confident in that fact. And then we have to live out our experiences of that fact. That's why your testimony is so important. You say, well, I don't have a testimony. What you're saying is, my testimony doesn't measure up with the guy who was an axe murderer and got saved in prison and right? No, you have a testimony. You have a testimony. And you can go to somebody and God will use you to go to somebody and say, listen, I know. You know, I've heard everything you've said to me, but God loves you. How does He love you? Because He loves me. Yeah, but I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody too. But God made me a somebody. He included me in His family. I'm a child of God. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm not. There's no glory that comes to me. All the glory goes back to Him because He did it all. Come on. Our common fellowship is rooted in our believing that our fellowship with the Father is because of Jesus. I've had a few experiences in my life, and it's really interesting. Waitresses or waiters, you know, they're just prime suspects. Right? And I've had a few times where I've just felt impressed. When David Husky was here, I don't know if he related this story, but we had this waitress. We were in Gig Harbor. I took him to lunch, and she's going there. And I just felt impressed to say this. I just got to tell you, you've got a sweet spirit about you. And I said, I want you to know, we're ministers, and I just want you to know that God loves you. And I said to her, I said, God has your back. I don't know what you're going through, but God has your back. That's not deep. right? I didn't have to lay hands on her and go, Shandarabo Sabadaba, devil come out of her. Right? But I just said what God put in my heart to say. She went like this. She went, you don't know. You have no idea. You don't know what you just did. She was overcome. She could hardly talk. She said, I can't talk and you don't know me, but that's not normal. She was the waitress. Her husband was the cook. She said, just a minute. I got to go get my husband. She brought her husband out to the table and made me repeat what I said. They were in a situation where they're coming up and their backs were against the wall because of the situation that they were in. They didn't know what they were going to do and they thought they were going to lose everything. And all I said was, God has your back. That's not that deep. It's not that hard. How could I do that? How could I know that? Because I have fellowship with the Father. And the Father has fellowship with me. We're looking for these big, big things. Boy, man, Lord, you just speak to me. You speak to me and I'll go up to that person in the wheelchair and I'll pull them out of it. Right? No, you won't. Right? Not if you won't say to the waitress, God loves you. You hear what I'm saying? But your fellowship with God will relate. He'll use you in that fellowship to relate to somebody else. And the same experience that God has given to you, He'll give to somebody else. That's how you relate to religious folks, by the way. You're not going to win a religious folk. And I don't care. It could be Christian. It could be, you know, whatever religion, you know, whoever it is, you're not going to win them by saying, well, you know, this is what the Bible says, and this is what I believe about the Bible, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. Because they've already been programmed to argue against that. But when you go to them and say, I don't know about all that, but let me just tell you what Jesus did for me. They can't argue with your fellowship with the Father. They can't. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, we first moved back up to Washington. We lived in duplexes that were right by the Safeway in Port Orchard, just right across the street. And so there was many duplexes in this circle. And we were down at the end of the road in the cul-de-sac at the bottom. And so we lived there. And we'd have people come usually on a Saturday and knock on the door. Two ladies. They're from the local whatever. They're Jehovah's Witness. They bring the Watchtower. It was either Jehovah's Witness or Mormon. I can't really remember. But they came and they came in. I said, yeah, come on in. Come on in. And the first thing I did is I said, you know, Renita was there and I was there and Michael was just a little baby at the time. I said, well, let's join hands and pray. And I just said, thank you, Lord, for bringing these folks by, and we're just loving them. We're just together. I just bind any devil that would bring any division in Jesus' name. And Lord, and then we just started to talk. And I said, well, you know what? This is what Jesus did for me. And this is what Jesus did for me. And they say, well, what about this and that Bible and this verse? I say, let me just tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about this miracle that Jesus did in my life. Or let me tell you how Jesus talks to me. And they left saying, hey, can we bring our elders by next time? As I'm standing here, this is a true story. The next week, here they come again. But they've got two gentlemen with them. And they went to the door on this side of me. You know, on the duplex on this side of me. They put an X on my door and went to the duplex. Why? Why? Because religion can't argue with relationship. If you'll witness out of your fellowship, you'll have effectiveness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you that you love us that much. You love us that much. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the door to fellowship so the Holy Spirit can show us the hidden things Jesus produced in us. Go to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Are y'all getting anything tonight? Woo! See, witnessing isn't something you have to do. Witnessing is something that you are. And if you'll witness out of who you are, He'll do through you what He wants to do. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Woo! Glory to God! Who does that apply to? Me. You. If Jesus is Lord of your life, it applies to you. Jesus came. He was physically on the earth. They could touch Him. They could see Him. They could go up to Him and ask Him questions. They could do all of that. But He said in another place, "It's expedient that I go away. I need to go. I need to get out of here, and it's for your sake." Are you kidding me? Lord, we've been with you for about 2.5-3 years now. And we've seen nothing but miracles. We've seen lame walk, blind see. We've had deaf hear. We've seen fish pay our taxes. We've seen, you know, fish multiplied. We've seen all of these things. Lord, you ain't going nowhere. All right, forget that. I would have said the same thing. But He said, no, it's important for you. He said, because in this verse, He said, the Holy Spirit is with you now because I'm with you. But when I go away, the Holy Spirit won't be with you. He'll be in you. So the fellowship that we have with the Father, produced by the blood of Jesus, gave us access to the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us. You ever thought about why do you bow your head when you pray? Because you're looking at God. Father, I just want to thank you. You're right here. Right, you're right here. Come on. Of course, we do it in honor. I'm being a little facetious, but the reality is when we really begin to understand who we are and what Jesus actually did for us, we'll begin to live out a fellowship and relationship rather than rules and regulations. That fellowship will rule us. That fellowship will regulate us, but we're not living out of the regulations to get to the fellowship. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to sin. Thank you. The Holy Spirit, come on. I've had people say, "Well, you know, the Holy Spirit just led me to covet that car." Yeah, the Holy Spirit told me I'm going to go lay hands on that brother's car because I want that car. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. But the more you begin to dwell in fellowship and you understand that the Holy Spirit is not just with you, He's in you, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth, everything becomes different. I'm living my life out of fellowship with God, not because I'm... get this straight. I am in fellowship with God, which makes me Christ-like. I'm not in fellowship because I have a title of Christian. There's a lot of Christians who have no fellowship. There's a lot of Christians who aren't saved. I won't go there, but that's the reality. Why? How can you tell? It's because they don't have a relationship. It's a funny thing. You start hanging around God and things change. You know, I'm different than I was before I got saved. And not because I'm trying to follow some regulations, but the Spirit of God on the inside of me is changing me from the inside out. I will go here and I've got to close. But watch this. We're looking, even as Christians, we're looking for people to come to us and to pray for us and for something from the outside to get on us so that we can be changed. Come on. I heard the evangelist is in town. I heard they've got a miracle working ministry, and that blesses God. I'm going to go. I'm going to have them lay hands on me, and bless God, I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to be changed. And you know what happens a lot of times? You go and you get touched, and the Holy Spirit moves. And man, you're changed, but within a week and a half, you're back to the same place. Why? It's because you didn't get it from the inside out. You got it from the outside in. Now, if you mix the inside with the outside, that's a great combination. Right? Yeah, he laid his hands. He's got gifting in that area, and I just received it. But I received it from God, and I'm changed. The Bible says this, you're changed from glory to glory. What in the world does that mean? What is the glory of God? The glory of God is His essence. It's who He is. The Bible says you go before Him like a mirror. You look at Him and you just, woo, glory to God. And that glory changes you from instant to instant to instant. But this is how oftentimes we go to the mirror. We go to the mirror like this. And we see ourselves as we are. And we go, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, oh God, 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 forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, God. And Lord, I've asked you for that three times, but you haven't given it. Where you need to go, God, here I am again. I'm coming to you just as I am. And Lord, I recognize, and your Holy Spirit has convicted me of my wrongdoing, and I ask you to forgive me. I can't stop it on my own, but I'm coming into your presence because that's the only place that I know that will change me. And so I'm looking at you again. And the more I look at you, the more it causes me to change. Glory to God. Lord, you'll never get better by trying to do better. You'll only get better by being with better. And He's not out there somewhere. And we're praying for revival. And that's good, right? But what really is revival? Revival is something that was alive, bring it back to life. That doesn't come from out there. It comes from right in here. You got all the revival you need. And it's 18 inches from your brain. So quit looking outside and say, Lord, I'm just coming to you. And just like you had those fellows in your ship, I'm in your ship. I'm just trusting you. I thank you, Lord, that right now I'm with you. You're with me. Holy Spirit, you're dwelling on the inside of me. When I pick up my Bible and I start reading, Holy Spirit, I just trust you that you're going to show me things. Whether I feel it or not, it makes no difference because I know that I know that I know that you're revealing yourself to me step by step. I just want to honor you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. If you're here tonight or you're watching this feed and you say, I want a relationship with the Father like you're talking about, it's not hard, but it costs you everything. Because you have to give up control of you and you have to say, Lord, I need to make Jesus the boss. I need to make Him Lord over my life. So, I'm coming to you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I give you my heart completely. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And so I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Messiah, that He's the one who paid the price to make me right with God. I believe that. But I also believe that He was raised from the dead. It's because of that that I can be justified before the Father. And so I come to you, Lord. I lay my life before you. Take me, use me. I'm yours. If you prayed that and you meant that, you can follow up with that and God will change you completely. In Jesus' name. I want to thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We'll come back and listen to us again on Sunday. If you need anything, there's numbers and stuff you can get with, or just message us on Facebook or whatever. But we love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.